Good evening, and welcome to the black hole that is the end of the world. The particles in our giant accelerator tonight are Jeremy Leeburn.
Hello.
David James.
Good evening.
And of course the wily old proton himself, Mr. Phil Ham.
Well, I'm not a proton, well, I'm a lot more like a colander.
I think it's a condom.
Yeah. Right. Hadron colander, that's me.
Yeah. Anyway, as our limbs are gradually torn asunder, we'll look forward to Tan's game with Reading and any new faces that might emerge. And if we have time or inclination, we'll mention our national side, which we probably won't.
Whoa.
Plus, of course, anything you Tan fans out there may wish to bring up. So email, as usual, on studio@icifm.co.uk or text us on 07973851968. And throughout the week, of course, you can get hold of us on nakedfooty@icifm.co.uk. So who wants to start this week, then? Particles?
Where are we going to start? We're going to start on Reading and what sort of... any ideas on what team...
You can start with the Big Bang,
yeah,
if you wish.
Yeah, it's an interesting one, isn't it?
Has June got any idea? It's more to the point.
It's difficult.
Yeah. I mean, I think... I've written sort of the squad out in a bit of preparation for it, and I'm sort of looking at
five sheets of paper.
Yeah. But I think, obviously, Richard Wright will play in goal. I think we all know that, unless anything happens to him. Then I would say up front, he's bound to go with Canago and Lisby. I don't think he'll start with Stead this early on, or Rhodes. And then the back four, you'd probably think he'd go with Volts at right back, McCauley, I think, alongside probably Naylor, but maybe Bruce. It's between, and then Thatcher at left back. So I'd say it's kind of a, probably that's what will go at the back. But the midfield is just open. Like,
Would you agree with that?
Oh, definitely. The back four is pretty much locked in now.
I reckon partly that you say about Naylor and Bruce. I wonder whether Naylor will get the nod ahead of Bruce, because Bruce has been away with Ireland, so
yeah,
won't have been...
And Naylor has actually been the most consistent player so far.
Yeah. Naylor for player of the year.
So far, yeah. Tough to say.
Odds on that at the beginning of the season have been fairly...
You also want him getting a game at the beginning of the season.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think someone posted on the message board, actually, when they played the Leighton Orient match, why did Naylor play? Why did someone else play?
Yeah.
Because they were miles and miles from the first team. And, of course, Naylor started the next game in the league and has kind of established himself since then. Midfield, as you say, it's all...
It's a minefield, isn't it?
Are we thinking John Walters on the right?
I would say so, yeah. I mean, I think he was obviously our best player last season, in my opinion. Causes havoc down the right side every time he plays.
Not his sharpness, but he's still the best option on that side for the control.
But he had some problems pre-season, didn't he? He wasn't always involved there, so maybe he's just taking time to catch up.
I reckon that's
with everybody else.
And a centre, I mean, presumably, I mean, I'm thinking that Jim's kind of ideal central midfield pairing at the moment is Campo and Norris, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Don't you think? I mean, if he wants to play Campo, he's got to have someone with some legs, which presumably is why he played Miller there.
At
Watford, and Trotter on the left to give extra kind of, you know, a bit of running as well. But I'm wondering whether he's going to go with Campo on Saturday, because I still don't think he's that fit. I mean, I watched him at Cotter in reserve yesterday.
Oh yeah,
and he didn't really move very much. So, and he played centre half as well. Whereas I think if he'd been looking to play Norris and Campo Saturday, for example, he'd have played them both in those positions on Saturday.
Was Norris playing yesterday?
Norris played yesterday, and Norris looked absolutely tip-top fit, I have to say.
Was he played on the right? Was he in the middle?
In the middle, with Jay Reason.
Okay, yeah.
Who was playing the more holding, the more Campo, Garvin, stroke Szumilakowski type role. So I wonder whether he's going to go with maybe Szumilakowski or probably Garvin, because I imagine Garvin will be back from today. After his two goals,
after his man of the match performance,
I wonder whether it would be Garvin and Norris on Saturday.
So you think Norris is ready to come in for
a
start?
I think so. Yeah, I mean, I can't. It's clearly the. I mean, Jim obviously paid a load of money for
him. He was the one that
chased him for years.
I've always waited for him to actually show, because I believe the same as Jim does, that he's a quality player at this level and will be very good for us. But he just hasn't had the break yet, has he?
And I mean, Jim's so keen on him. It was. You know, he could almost have got a court order against him at one stage. But, and then on the left, of course, we still haven't got a proper left-sided player. But, I mean,
looking at it, you've only really got Quinn. Although he's right-footed, he is...
He's played a lot
viewed as a left. That's where he's played most of his career. And otherwise, they sometimes go for sort of square pegs in round holes, like plays Haynes there sometimes, or Walters.
Yeah, well, Haynes I didn't think played particularly well again yesterday, and he came off early with cramp in the reserves. Peters is another option, I suppose. He didn't really show that much again. So yeah, as you say, I think it's Quinn or Trotter. Is the other option.
There is a big hole on that left hand side.
There is a big
black hole. Yeah.
Come back to Graham's original.
Yeah, we've got to get that. See how many times we can get that theme in tonight. Carry on.
And then as you say up front, it's I mean, I don't know whether Stead might come in. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't. I would reckon we'll see him at some stage, but whether or not it's from the beginning or from the bench.
I think it depends. I mean, I think against Reading, we really. Whether we have the ball or not is going to be a question. Yes. I mean, that's been part of the problem in second half at Watford and against Preston and Wolves.
Yeah.
I was thinking more of Wolves actually than Preston. We just didn't keep the ball,
did we? To be fair, Wolves were very good and surprised me how good they were. Yeah. But when they say they're going to come and play open attacking football, it's like, that's usually mouth-watering for us, isn't it? Because that plays into our hands.
Yeah.
And Reading should be a good footballing team again, unlike Watford, you know, and it should play into our hands again to be able to, you know, ball it out and hopefully come out on top, but it actually worries me that there's not a lot of football in the side now.
No, well, we didn't play a lot.
We're lacking that football element to us.
But I mean, we played good football in the first half against Watford, but then as soon as the kind of going got a bit tougher, then the performance fell away. So
it was almost like a graph, wasn't it, going down, like performance from the first minute, obviously goal in the second, third minute, just literally getting worse. It felt like, I remember just watching it on the TV, but
And that's a concern. But then, I mean, the main problem we've got is we've had 8 players coming over the summer. 4 more, was it? 3 or 4 more? I forget. We had a couple leave, didn't we, from January. We had several more in January. And it's just bedding the team in. And taking... I don't know if it's the fact that expectations were so high, or that people are kind of, you know, thinking, right, we've bought these players worth so many million quid that they should all kind of be straight in because they're better standard of player than we've brought in probably... before, but I think any team needs a period of time.
That is also a problem. Jim's obviously bought the players he wants to play in a certain way. He hasn't been able to do that yet. And then he's brought other players in. Now he's got the problem with juggling a large squad with all of a similar level, but nobody with that real defined roles within that squad.
There's no 11 jumps out, is there? I think that's the problem. And we'll come at this. 27, or is it something like that? Is the number of players?
That's what I said. 27, and then 5 out on loan. So,
out of the 27, then, who would you get rid of, either on loan or permanently?
That's the thing. Looking at it,
fringe players like Peters. I'd say possibly Rhodes.
But at the moment, having said that,
he's the only one who knows where the mess is at any level.
I still don't think he started the season as sharply as he was as he did last year.
I do like Dean Bowditch, but I can't see why he's got a contract.
I was going to say, of the two that jump out, really, are Peters and Bowditch for me. Not necessarily saying get rid of them, but if you were to trim it down, that's probably where you'd start.
Well, what about midfield? I mean, that's where we've got.
That's the thing. We've got
excess.
We've got 9 here. I've counted.
I mean, Jay Reason could probably say could go out on loan,
but then he's not pushing the first team.
No,
really, is he, with the people ahead of him?
Kurt Robinson, you'd probably say. I don't know whether he's in your 27 or not, but
he was, but I wasn't. Yeah,
he's another one who could probably do that. Yes. I've been impressed with him.
I like
a lot.
Kurt, and he can play left back. He can play left midfield, which he's been doing a lot of reserves, and he needs that next step to gain that experience.
Very much so, and it's obviously sort of next step with the youngsters, and we've got the likes of Upson at Stevenage and whatever. But of the senior players,
but you've still got, I counted 9 senior midfield players who are all of an age where they expect to be playing first team football. They want to be playing first team football. They sort of have shown in their careers that's where they ought to be, but it's just obviously not all of them can play. So
9 is too many, I think.
I'm including Walters, Norris, Haynes, Miller, Campo, Garvin, Shumilakoski, Quinn, and Trotter. Trotter is okay. He's a youngster just coming through, maybe he won't mind being in reserve / bench. But the rest of them really. And Danny Haynes is young, but he's had so much football in his career that he's going to want to be still playing, isn't he? So
It's a difficult. I mean, the manager. I don't know if it is a case of not knowing his best side, but there's also kind of seems to be an unwillingness to get rid of people. I mean, I know you got rid of Gary Roberts, but I think Gary Roberts got to a point where the managers couldn't trust him because he had that spell when he did well, and then he signed on permanently, and frankly was fairly hopeless after that.
And he was one of those players that was brought in at the time when we needed,
when we broke,
and he was he did very well on loan, and it was a good signing to make at the time.
Yeah.
Now we've got the money, you can say, well, we're able to get better.
Yeah, and Gavin Williams, you could say similar, in that you can't guarantee that he's not going to be injured for two thirds of the season.
Yeah, exactly.
Or annoying his teammates.
Also, it seems to be a bit maybe just.
Well, I think there's that. Yeah. Alan Lee, I think. You can say that Alan Lee went in the... I said this in the paper the other day. I thought it was very similar to when Alex Matthey left.
Yeah, I read that, yeah.
30 years old. I think Alan Lee was just 30 and Alex Matthey was 30 in a month or something like that. And getting a really good price for both of them at that stage of their careers. It was the last time we'd have been out to sell them for money.
Yeah.
And I think that's... You know, and we've brought in someone that Jim thinks is similar... But he's 5 years younger.
Yeah.
And experienced at playing at higher levels.
I'm just concerned about, you know, whether he's actually going to be better than Alan from that point of view. I agree with you, selling Alan now is the right time. But it's always dependent if you're going to get somebody better in, and I'm not sure if Steady's better yet.
Well, I mean...
Time will tell on that one. He could suddenly just, you know, to go for on a massive run. And he could score, you know, goal a game for about five games running or something, or he could just do nothing for us.
Yeah. I mean, it's the thing. I mean, some players do well at some clubs, don't they? I mean, Stead started off fantastically at Huddersfield. And then he's
at Blackburn, he's
then he got his brilliant move to Blackburn. Yeah. Kept them up 1 year.
Yeah.
Then
did he get to under-21 standards?
He played England, he played about 10 games in under-21s. And then he... Mark Hughes came in at Blackburn, and that was kind of the end of his time there, really, because they brought in Craig Bellamy and I can't think who else. There was another big name striker.
Yeah.
Well, Santa Cruz eventually.
But I think Stead didn't get the regular games after that, and then he went on to Sunderland, which was Mick McCarthy era, which was a bit of a disaster when he was there. I think because it was the era when they collapsed out of the Premiership with 3 points, whatever it was, and then he went to Sheffield United. Well, again, the manager changed, so.
Yes.
If he can get some stability at a club with a manager with some faith in him, then you don't know, do you? So, I mean, you talk to Sheffield United Sports, and they say he's got fantastic touch. And
well, that is a difference to Lee, then, certainly.
Well, yeah. to me, he looks a bit like a kind of Scowcroft-type player.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can get someone scoring the David Johnson-style goals, which presumably would be the similar sort of player, and he's got a bit of pace and... then it might well work out, but I think it's a bit more risky than perhaps buying someone who's maybe scored 20 goals in this division with a smaller club. I suppose Lisby did that, didn't he? Scored 17 goals, but someone in that big striker mould.
I think that's why Jim probably didn't go for Patson.
He said
he didn't want to go for two that had been relegated.
No.
So they're on a downward spiral.
But Patson started very well, hasn't
he? That's it. He has.
He's got about five goals, I think, already, hasn't he?
Yeah, he scored a couple in the first game at
least. Yeah. So anything on the wires?
We've got a few coming during the week, because I'll read these first, or one of them, because they're more apposite to what you've just been talking about. Ray from Ipswich, I don't think it's our Ray, a different Ray. We seem to have almost two teams now. This may be a good thing in terms of injuries, but don't you feel it may cause certain players to become unsettled if they don't get regular games?
I would say so, yeah.
Which is what you were sort of brushing on, weren't you?
It is difficult, because there's no... reserve games at all for them, and you can't arrange enough behind closed doors friendlies to keep them all ticking over either. If we had a proper reserve league in place, then that goes some way to keeping the players fit and keeping them kind of happy.
Because I think if you've got a squad of this size, then you're going to really sort of look for a greater percentage of the squad to be young players that aren't going to not mind sitting on the benches. Too many of them are first team players, really.
Experienced players,
the older players that are quite happy to just come and do their 20 minutes stint at the end.
Two teams. I mean, that is the ideal managers want, isn't it, really? Every position covered.
Yes.
Have a league cut team and a league team.
Yeah, but we've got too many positions that are covered more than once at the moment. I think that's the problem. I think he needs to kind of decide on whether he wants. You look at the individuals that play centre midfield. We've got Garvin, obvious talent player who's going to progress. We've got Szymanowski, did very, very well at the weekend against Scotland. So a kind of international player who's trying to perhaps learn English football, as it were. And is a player that was kind of tipped to go to Premier League clubs rather than Championship clubs. Then you've got Norris, who's an experienced Championship campaigner, who's a different sort of player again, up and down, up and down. Miller, who, you know, has scored goals in this league, and we've really not got a lot of goals in midfield, aside from maybe Walters and Haynes when they play, but then again, you know, they're both strikers, really.
Yeah.
And then, who else have we got in centre midfield? I've forgotten.
You covered them all, I think. Miller or Campo.
Trotter, who's one coming out, and Campo, who's another experience.
Yeah, it's
but
five.
There's too many, I mean, somewhere along the line, someone out of that isn't going to get very many games. And they're all kind of players that you would that would probably make the first team of most teams in this division, I would say.
I mean, because we've got this cup game, we've got 7 games in the next 3 weeks, which is great.
Yeah.
And there's another international break, and then that's it. When it gets back down to just being one game a week or, you know, 3 games a fortnight, there's not going to be enough games for them all to play.
No. But there again, this is, it's not just something that's Ipswich, is it? Premier League clubs generally seem to have squads now that are about 27, 28 players, and they don't play them in their reserves at all. Because you go and watch a Premier League reserve game, you don't watch Arsenal's reserve. It's all kids, and Tottenham is all kids, and West Ham, you know, it's Kyle Reid and all those sort of players, and all the scouts sitting around watching them to try and take them on loan. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, we're not the loan on that, I suppose. It's just kind of a modern thing. But there you go. Anything else, Graham?
No, James Cummings again. Keep him coming, James. Keep him coming. That wasn't meant to happen, actually. Keep him coming anyway. That's good.
It was Graham's idea of a joke.
Yeah. It wasn't, actually. It wasn't intentional, but I'm glad I said it.
I thought it was good.
Nice. Thank you.
5 out of 10.
Thank you, Jeremy. Nice to see that this week Super Jim isn't being Benitez or Ranieri. He's now turned into Corporal Jones, telling everyone not to panic about our poor start for the season. Questions this week. When is Billy Clark coming back from his loan, as surely his recent performances at Darlington have warranted a recall to the first team squad?
Don't think you can recall.
No, he's extended
to January.
Season loans are until their duration, so even if we lost all our other
So that pretty much answers that. Because he's pretty much worried about the left side of midfield position, that's what he's saying, and Clark fitted it out.
Another name yesterday was that, I can't think of it now, Ayret, the French Fabrice Ayret. From FC Cologne, said that he was offered the
another
job
one from there,
which decided not to. Well, obviously, I wonder whether that was all part of the same thing. We went in and said, can we have the Novakovic?
I think that's it. Novakovic.
The Slovenian international, and they said no, but you can have the other fella. You don't know. I mean, I don't know whether maybe Simon Hunt or someone has got a contact with a scout there, or the, someone at the sporting director, let's use a comment of the fashionable parlance, at that club. But he didn't fancy it. He'd rather stay in the reserves, and apparently he's already picked up a thigh injury this season. So
really,
Ben Moran, is it just me, or do quite a few Ipswich fans need a few tons of Prozac at the moment? Admittedly, the team isn't gelling very well in our first few games, but surely, given the amount of new faces, it would have been crazy to expect we'd be starting on fire. Jim will get it right.
I think to some extent, I think this is what Jim was going on about, the overreaction, don't you?
There is an overreaction. It's still disappointing, though.
Oh, and I think the expectation was kind of raised so high by, one, the money, and also, I think to some extent, the kind of underwhelmingness of some of the signings was created by some of the other names we were going
for. I read your thing about that.
Sharis Diaz and,
you know, top level
players who played international football.
Rumoured to actually agreed a fee to buy him, loan.
But he didn't fancy it, didn't basically.
Those sort of names.
But and then we get kind of, you know, for all the will in the world, when a player who is like John Stead, who's kind of had 2 or 3 years where he's not done the business, people are going to be a bit less than overwhelmed by their signing. So I think, you know, expectations are incredibly high this season, and I suppose, as you say, 3 defeats in 4 games, and also perhaps the manner of the performance
means and that 2 at home out of 2 as well in the league. I mean,
that said, as we've kind of just said previously, it is a matter of time and getting the side bedded in, isn't it, as much as anything else. And we all know in this division that, you know, as long as you win your last 10 games, you'll make the playoffs.
That's it.
But is there a case to think people are thinking maybe he's brought in so many new players that it's going to take so long to bed them in that it's foolish?
Well, that is true. I mean, I think,
you know, because if like end of October we're still bedding them in as such, then it could be too late to really mount a push. I mean, it might.
I think it'd be too late for Jim if
gets to mid-October. That's the other thing. How many more games does he have? It's
I think Jim has. I mean,
if we lost the next 5 straight in the league,
I would guess if we lost the next 5 straight, there would questions would be being asked around the boardroom table. But at the same time, I would guess that the manager is probably being given 10 games at least, wouldn't you?
I'm thinking December.
Try it, December.
You've got, maybe that November, December, when it starts to get a bit tough and see where we are there, and then you've got that month before January kicks in, because I think it might be savvy that you wouldn't want to get rid of the manager after a transfer window.
Well, that's true, but then you probably want to
just on top of it.
Yeah, maybe. I suppose the beginning of December is the latest, because it gives the new manager
that time
long enough to assess his squad. But yeah,
say if it went that way, though, I mean, how Jim has probably spent reasonable proportion of the, what was it, 12 million?
Yeah, but I think he spent more than that, to be honest.
Yeah. You've got to include the wages and fees to go with it.
Exactly, for a couple of years. I think that, and I was told by somebody over the summer that Jim had 15 million to spend over the summer.
From what I gathered, he had the 12 million initially in January, and then that was after what he spent was topped up to 12 million again.
Okay.
So it was like it was reset after what he'd already spent.
If you look at the fees, or you know, you get a rough idea of what the fees for players are going to be, and that you can pretty much work out that the wages from someone like John Stead are going to be fairly high, and the wages from Campo are probably going to be higher than, you know, you're talking probably at least 15-20 grand for Campo a week. You look at it over the course of the contracts that have been offered, then it's
is he a 1 year deal, Campo, or
it's two, I think,
is it 2 year
so it's significantly
we
more
have done well in selling some players, though, that perhaps we, before, they would have just gone for nothing.
That's true.
We would have just let them, if in a club had said they wanted them, that we would have said have them.
But because we've managed to write off the contract.
We managed to get the money back, or even better, for the players that we've sold.
The likes of Roberts and Williams.
Well to actually get the money back.
Well, certainly in the case of Roberts, but then again, you don't know whether we settled the remaining aspects of his contract with him in order to get the fee. Yeah, do you see what I mean?
To encourage him to move on.
Because he obviously was on a championship contract until 2010 or something, didn't he? Got more.
Well, this one came in on the Naked Footy site, and it's about three words shorter than the Holy Bible, so it's quite a lot of it. So I'm not going to read it all. I'll try and pricey it. I'll break it down for you. This is from Ollie Crow, by the way. John Stead, good signing. He may not be the ideal target man, but at 6'3", the opposing team will have to mark him as such, which stops teams playing with more than one guy marking Walters, which has started to happen when we play Pablo and Lisby together, as he's the only obvious outlet for the long ball.
That is true. He does provide us with another option.
Yes.
I think that's something we talked about a year on the programme, is the fact that we didn't... I mean, Alan Lee, for all the kind of... And I think Alan Lee did well for Town over the years, but I never really had him down as a kind of traditional big centre-forward. I mean, perhaps Stead isn't either, but I think he's probably...
That's the worry, isn't it? That he might end up just pumping it up to him, and if he's not...
But I don't mind that, see. I mean, I don't want kind of our first option to be hoik the ball up to the big bloke. But when it gets to a game, like all the frustrating matches against, like Watford last year and Burnley last year and games like that, where we're not able to pass our way through the team, to have somebody up there who can win the ball in the air and someone else to get the knockdowns, you've got to have a plan B. And I think all too often, we haven't had a plan B.
I would not even, you know, if somebody offered me £1,000 and the free season ticket Watford, I wouldn't take it.
No.
But, you know, three or four games a season where it's needed, I think you've got to play that style of football.
Last 20 minutes, if you're 2-1 down and you're not getting anywhere, you have to go for that sort of approach. Yeah. And good luck to John Stead. I hope he does well, especially for people who are so negative about him.
I think Ollie Crow thinks it's quite a good buy.
I tend to agree.
But I can't go right through the whole lot. A second part, I theorise the problem with the left midfielder is just a symptom of having two unenergetic central midfielders. The left midfielder is in there to make up for the lack of attacking presence in the centre.
Lack of running, is that what you said?
Yeah, I think so. He's saying that Walters obviously can be switched to the left. He also said it would be nice to have Norris back, especially after looking so good against Watford and also obviously Colchester last night.
I thought Norris looked good, I have to say, and did a lot of running, moved the ball about nicely. I thought Paul Murphy did well actually yesterday in the reserves when he came on. It was only like the last 10 minutes or so. We had Peters and Haynes swapping flanks, but really getting very little of quality into the box. And Murphy came on and he got two or three very good crosses in, one of which led to the goal from the corner that equalised.
That's the thing. I mean, Peters and Haynes offer that pace. Well, I don't think they offer the crosses.
No.
I think Haynes has been working on that. I've seen in some evidence, I think, it's getting better in that respect.
They also have been told, in the way that they're told to play, is to not beat the fullback all the time unless they're going to get a ball across, because that leaves them exposed, the fullbacks. Then there's a great big gap on the field.
So
those are attacking players trying to learn the defensive side.
I
think that's probably why Trotter's been given the left-hand berth, because he's a bit better defensively in his nature.
Well, I mean, he's not a kind of, he's not a winger, is he? Do you know what I mean? He doesn't do that kind of right, and he holds a position rather than sort of offering an additional attacking. Well, he scored in the first game he played, didn't he? But this season,
he's looked quite good, I thought. Yeah, when he's played,
like, he needs to get more confident. I think that's
his consistency suffers because of it.
Mm. Yeah. And you think he's a big, really big fella,
yeah, he's huge,
and he's becoming now. I mean, two or three years ago, people looked at him, and I remember saying myself, he looks just like Jason Dizelle, that very sort of live figure. But now he looks like
he is our only actual size and presence.
Yeah,
he's 6'3".
Yeah. And I mean, he's he's built like a boxer now, isn't he? He's got a real kind of presence about him, but he's not got that kind of. Perhaps he's not grown into his body.
No,
you know what I mean, psychologically, he doesn't realise he's sort of such a kind of. Someone did call him Patrick Vieira last year, didn't they? And he is that sort of physique, isn't he?
That's it.
Mm.
Continuing. yes, Phil.
For those who've never seen me.
Third part of this biblical epic. This is St. John chapter 4, verse 3. Everyone is concerned about Macaulay. It basically says that. Do you think it's the pressure of being captain that's affecting him? And if he had an injury, he would lose that captaincy, and therefore he'd play better.
Possibly.
I spoke to a few Leicester fans prior to us from, or when we first signed him prior to seeing him play, and they said he's very, very good, but sometimes that's
prone to howlers
and prone to going missing in games, and
really?
He hasn't, for me, shown the leadership that the captain arm and actually deserves. But then I don't think there's any other leaders on the pitch apart from, say, like a Campo, because I know Campo's definitely a talker. He talked all the way through the first half at Watford, so it's I don't know if there is a real natural leader on that pitch.
No, I think you're
about
right.
Norris, if and when he gets
Norris got my vote.
Actually, get obviously he's not playing at the moment or hasn't been, but if he gets a good, if he gets into the team as such.
Yeah, I don't know. It's the problem with McCauley, just he's kind of in a new back four, most of whom haven't played together very often.
Yeah.
With the goalkeeper, they haven't played with very often. In a team that's generally sort of settling down. I mean. The centre half's had a lot of pressure in a lot of games.
Quite a big fee.
We haven't had the ball very much, and I sort of wonder whether they kind of get a bit of a kind of raw deal, because we haven't actually let in hordes of goals. We've let in goals, but in games where we've had a lot of pressure.
That's
on us. So it might be just a case of him.
He might just be getting some of the stick as well for the whole team not performing so well.
Yeah, I think
people
to some
extent. Things at him because I mean, if Norris was playing and Norris was playing in a poor side, he'd probably get it as well, because they're the two big signings, aren't they? So the two men that Jim made all the fuss about going after.
Yeah, they've been for a long time. But I think you can't. I mean, someone messaged me today was saying was referring to players of. That we've signed over the summer being flops. I think it's ridiculous to talk about anyone being a flop after five games. there's such a long way to go, and we're in a team that's kind of just settling or starting to settle, and it's all got a long, long way to go. Grant, next.
Right.
Email.
Well, this is the same one again. We're obviously not going to finish it. We'll finish it next week. But this is actually a statement rather than a question. Best news we could have had is that Walters wasn't leaving. He's worth £5 million, and. Basically, he's saying we couldn't have signed a player for £5 million any better. So that lends on a good note.
Okay.
So if you want to quickly make your predictions for Saturday, you've come to the end, Philip.
Have we already?
Yes, it's just like going into a black hole.
Hey, I don't know. It's difficult. I reckon it might be a draw. I can see a draw. Right. It's that sort of 2-2. It's got 2-2 written all over it.
I had
me.
That as well.
Did you?
Yep, pessimistic draw.
I don't know, I have to go for a town win, because I always do, so 2-1, but a draw wouldn't surprise me.
But I think Reading are a good side, aren't they? Reading are going to be a good side in this division.
Yeah.
So a town side that's kind of establishing itself, I think, a 2-2 draw at Reading can't be seen as a poor result, I don't think.
No,
I think to some extent it's a matter of how well we play as much as the result. If we show signs of getting towards... A kind of team that's cohesive, a cohesive performance.
That's it.
Points on the
board.
Well,
we've won our cup games, not playing well, and it's where we play our league games well. That's going to be the real test, isn't it?
Yeah, we might, a bit of luck perhaps as well. If we get a goal and then another one goes in off someone's backside or something, that could do the side the power of good, really. It would be nice to play someone rubbish now, though, wouldn't it?
Don't you think? How about Burnley again?
Burnley, they're coming up soon, actually.
This is what they've been threatening for the last couple of years, that the Championship's getting stronger and the teams, there's more and more ex-Premiership teams in there, and it's finally coming to fruition now. I think there are about eight teams in the division rather than the top two or three that it always has been. previous years.
Yeah, difficult to get.
On that note, we're now overshot as usual, just like a Richard Naylor clearance. Thanks to Jeremy, thanks to David James, thanks to our head Proton Phil. Till next week, have a good one. Thanks for emailing in, everyone. Bye bye.